The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Outer Rim. This is episode number 42. We're recording this on Thursday, April 14th, the day before Tax Day. It's a fun day for everybody. I'm actually here without Eric tonight. We don't have Eric in the podcast with us here tonight, but we do have a very worthwhile replacement. We have Chris. Chris, how are you tonight?
I am pretty good.
That's good to hear. I'm glad you're with us. Nice to have you back on the show. We haven't had you on here in a while.
Yeah, it has been a long time.
Yeah, so Eric had some work obligations tonight, I guess, so he begged off, and the show must go on, so Chris stepped up the plate and said, hey, I'll be on the show, and we're making him do all the Eric parts tonight, so, but we can still blame Eric, because,
yeah.
you know, policy for the website is if he's not here, whoever's not here is the one to blame, so
mm-hmm.
I will definitely
We can even have a new poll
Eric.
On the website asking who's better, me or him.
There we go, yeah, who's your favorite? You know, random chatter host. I like that. That'd be good. So what have you been up to lately? I know we haven't, it's not something we normally do in this show, but feels like we have been a while since we've talked to you. So why don't you bring us up to speed, anything cool in your life happening?
Unfortunately, my life right now is pretty boring. I've been playing a little bit of soccer, finishing school for the semester, and looking forward to the summer and warm weather.
Nice. Yeah, you know, it was weird. We had a pretty warm winter up here in the Northeast, but we had that cold snap after we had that warm weather in February. It got cold in March and April, and it's like, God, I really want summer here now, or at least spring.
Well, we had snow last weekend, so.
Did you? We didn't get much. We had a little bit of work, but not much down here at home, so it's kind of like, wow, kind of not ready for that in April.
Yeah.
Now, I know we talked about this on the Echo Base podcast, but I am still so psyched about the Rogue One stuff.
Oh, I am too. I was actually looking up on Google earlier for wallpapers, but there was really nothing aside from bad fan art and the cast photo. So,
yeah, the cast photo didn't do much for me. It was really kind of dark. You couldn't really see too much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was on purpose from Lucasfilm or they're trying to keep things, you know, quiet for the time being, but. Yeah, I hope we get more of that stuff pretty soon. You know, I can't wait to see the movie poster. I'm a big movie poster fan, so looking forward to see what they do for artwork for that. That'd be kind of cool. So I am definitely excited for that. But that's not what this show is about. We do our news for the entertainment industry here and some tech stuff when we get it. No tech stuff tonight, just all movie stuff, really. This first article we have tonight for our news makes me a little nervous. I'm not sure how you feel about this, but AMC came out recently saying they may allow texting in their theaters. What do you think about that?
I think it is a terrible idea.
Okay, good. We're on the same page. Good. Yeah, I know. It's. I read this article. And I thought, why would a studio say this? Why would they even want that studio, but a movie theater chain come out with this kind of a statement? The CEO from AMC, Adam Aron, he had a quote here. He says, when you tell a 22-year-old to turn off their phone, don't ruin the movie, they hear, please cut off your left arm above your elbow. You can't tell a 22-year-old to turn off their cell phone. That's how they live their life. I'm like, well okay. I see what you're saying. It's a big part of young people's lives these days, and you're attached to your cell phone. I'm attached to my cell phone. My cell phone is always on me. I never go anywhere without it. I text more than I should, probably. I look up stuff on the internet more than I should. But when I go into a theater, it stays in my pocket. I mean, mm-hmm. I turn it off. I don't turn it off. I put it on silent. I put it in my pocket so it's not going to get bright when I get a text message or anything. I just feel it's a sacred place that we're here to see, you know, what's on this big screen, and I don't want to see a bright light somewhere in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
that really distracts me. Even, you know, I even get to the point where during the credits, and the lights haven't come up yet, if someone turns their phone on then to start checking messages, I'm like, really? You can't wait 5 more minutes till you're out of the theater, exactly, or till you're done? Why do you turn it on now? I'm you're not taking away from anything, but it draws my attention. I'm like, that's not what this room is for. Mm-hmm. So this just really, really bothers me. He did mention in here, he said, at the same time, though, we're going to have to figure out a way to do that so it doesn't disturb today's audiences. There are reasons there are ads up there saying, turn off your phone because moviegoers today want somebody, don't want somebody sitting next to them and having them texting on their phones. I mean, you know, they've gotten creative in their ads now with, you know, turn off your cell phones. They have the one the M&Ms do in one of the theaters. I think it's maybe a rave theater, maybe. Where they're up there and you hear somebody's phone go off and they're like, you see, that's why we don't have our phones on during the movie, because it's like they're ready to defuse a bomb or something. And he's like, what? You know, so they're getting creative with this and they're really trying to make a point out to everybody out there who does it. I don't know why a theater would go back on that and say, yeah, we're going to start allowing, you know, phones in theaters. I mean, they did say that maybe they would have a separate theater for that kind of stuff, or a separate screening of a certain movie, mm-hmm, to say this is a text-friendly movie or text-friendly showing. Even that, though, I feel, you know, what if the only time I could go to that movie was at the 6 o'clock show on Thursday, and that's when their text-free zone was? I'd be like, oh, man. Yeah, I just feel this is a really, really, really bad idea.
Well, when I saw this, I didn't really know what to think, because to be honest, I mean, I'm 23 years old, and when I go to a movie, I leave my phone in my pocket, and it mm-hmm. stays there. I will admit, when I was younger, I would occasionally text during a movie if I didn't really find it all that interesting, but I've never really even had many problems with people being on their phones during a movie, and honestly, the few times that I have, it's been adults. Like, late 20s, early 30s, even 40-year-olds. But, you know, maybe that's just me, but I just don't think this is a very smart move.
No, I mean, you know, even, you know, we all have to be connected. I understand that. And with phones today and people, parents with kids and stuff, you may have to take a phone call. I understand that. You know, the phone goes off, get up, leave the theater, you know, and take the call. I mean, if you have to answer it in the theater and say, hey, I'll be right out, hang on, and just, you know, put the phone to your side, walk out and take it. I don't have a problem with that. If it's an emergency, you got to take a phone call, sure. But it's 2 hours. You know, it's not like you're there for 6 days, you know, where you're away from contact. I tell you, I was even getting conscious of my own actions the other day. I went to see 10 Cloverfield Lane, and I had my Apple Watch on. And if I move, you know, you raise your hand up, the watch face lights up to see, you can see what time it is. And even that bit of a little bright light, I was like, oh, you know, kind of cover my phone, cover my watch. It was the first time I had my Apple Watch in a theater without like long sleeves on. So first I was exposed, and I'm like, oh, I hope no one's getting, you know, upset with me because my watch is lighting up. So even that to me, I want to be, you know, cognizant of everybody else's viewing experience. I don't want to interrupt what they want to see. You know, I just feel really self-conscious about that kind of thing. And I think some people aren't. And that's why you see that brilliant, bright, glowing screen 3 rows down over to the side, and it draws your attention away from the movie theater. I'm just really thinking this is a really bad, I know I've said it 100 times already in this first 10 minutes, but it's a really, really bad idea. I hope AMC doesn't do this or finds a way to do it that doesn't impact anybody that doesn't want to be impacted by this.
Yeah, I agree.
In the article, there was the article in Variety that we got this from, and they said, you know, hopefully they'll find a way to make this happen so it won't be like, you know, the smoking section of a restaurant back when they allowed smoking in restaurants and stuff. Most of our audience is going, they allowed smoking in restaurants? Because it's so long ago. But, you know, that was the case. It was like, you know, or the back of the plane was the smoking section of the plane. It was like, okay, we're in a metal tube at 30,000 feet that has the same recycled air. We're all breathing that, you know, and that's how I feel this would be with cell phones. Okay, so the left half of the theater is for cell phones. So that'll be like, you know, 10 lumens brighter than the rest of the theater because all the phones are on. And you'd be like, what's going on over there? You know, you keep looking over there. So I don't know. I just be interested to see what happens with this. If any of our listeners want to chime in on this, please, you know, send us an email or hit us on Twitter and let us know what you think. Because this is a pretty important topic, I think. I mean, especially with theaters losing, you know, viewings, losing market share, I guess, maybe to home theaters. You know, and obviously they want to try to get younger viewers back in as maybe a way to do that. But boy, if that's, you're going to lose your older audiences at the risk of gaining the younger ones. I don't know. I mean, maybe long-term it's a good strategy because the younger people will be, oh, I remember texting in theaters when I was a kid and I'll keep doing it now. But I think at some point they're going to lose that and get old enough to go, you know, I don't want to see a screen
that's
2 feet away from me.
That's what I was thinking too. Maybe it'll be, it'll open up these people's eyes and, you know, they won't, they'll be like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's bad enough when you go to a concert these days and between you and the stage, there's 10,000 people with cell phones up trying to record the show. And I'm like, okay, I'm seeing the concert, but I'm seeing a 10 million, you know, cell phones and iPads being held up trying to record it. And that bothers me too. Oh, well, I'll get off my soapbox on that one, I guess. We'll move on to our next story here. Spider-Man movie. We talked about this, I think, last week on the show. I think it was in our lightning round where we talked about the different domain names that Spider-Man, that Sony had secured for Spider-Man movies. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Spider-Man Homecoming. And evidently that's becoming kind of the rumor now. This is going to be a real thing that may be the title.
Yeah, I actually...
I saw a couple of pictures online today about that and showed up on the screen at some venue that Spider-Man Homecoming was the new title for the movie. And I'm not sure what to think. I mean, that's not what I would typically think of as a new movie for Spider-Man. Homecoming? I mean, what does that
mean? It's really strange. Did you see the title art?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think of that?
I think I did. You know, it didn't... Well, it was kind of a... The picture I saw was like a big theater and there was a small screen down in front, so it wasn't real huge. I'm trying to find a picture of it right now.
It kind of looks... It's different from what we're used to seeing from... I mean, I don't want to say Marvel film because it's not actually a Marvel film. It's more Sony, but... I like the title art. It reminds me of classic Spider-Man.
It reminds you of a comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm looking at a picture right now. It's got the Marvel. That's the other thing, too. It's got the Marvel logo on it. So, I mean, you know, the movies are still owned by Sony, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they're using Spider-Man in the latest Civil War film because they wanted to have that character. But the idea was that Sony would still control the rights to the Spider-Man movies. I think maybe Marvel's got some input on the development of the movie, but I think Sony still owns it. But this this artwork is, definitely the Marvel logo. Spider-Man kind of in a curving up, like a, almost like a smile.
Yeah.
And below it, Homecoming is written, and the O in Homecoming, and the O in Coming is Spider-Man's head.
Yep, that's what it is. I like it. I mean,
yeah, I guess. I just don't know about the name.
Yeah, it's just a weird, it's a weird name. It's just, better than just Spider-Man. I mean,
yeah, I suppose. I mean, hopefully this will be something that's not an origin story again.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done that, what, three times now or twice at least?
Yeah, twice.
See, Sony saved us best for last. Let's see, in this case, not seeing Spider-Man, Tom Holland, 2017 reboot of Marvel superhero be known as Spider-Man Homecoming. Previously announced, the picture hits theaters July 7th, 2017. So it'll be fully integrated into the greater cinematic Marvel universe, which Disney counts the bulk of. So, yeah, like we said, this was part of that agreement to have Spider-Man in Civil War. But they're going to make the new Spider-Man films that Sony owns part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I guess that's good that we're going to have this more cohesive with the rest of the Marvel characters that we're all used to knowing and loving.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what Homecoming is going to be. Rothman explained the title. Homecoming has a high school ring to it, but it also Peter trying to find his way home. Oh, the title reveal, the official logo. Okay, yeah. So we don't know much more than just the name and the logo, but I'm interested to see how this ties into the rest of the stuff from Marvel and what it means for Spider-Man, what story this is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So Homecoming maybe coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, maybe, I guess, some of it to do with it, but that really wouldn't make sense for the story itself, but I don't know. We shall see, I guess. Chris, you're a big comic convention fan, right?
Yeah. If
you had the chance to go to San Diego and New York, you'd go to both, right?
I don't know.
Ooh, really?
If I could go to San Diego and not have to deal with all of the people in the lines, yes, I would go.
Okay, well, that's something to be said. Yeah, you saw the pictures that Eric and I had last year at New York Comic Con, right, with the lines and the queue hall.
Yeah.
That is definitely a daunting thing to have, and last year it was easier than it was, or sorry, 2 years ago it was better than it was last year as far as what you got into, but you got to pick and choose what you want to get in line for because you may not get to see multiple big events. Mm-hmm. So. Well, there may be a way around that this year. Sci-Fi is planning on doing primetime coverage of San Diego Comic-Con in July. So July 21st through the 23rd, 3 days, at 8 p.m., they're going to have a convention wrap-up, I guess you'd call it. They tell me how long it's going to be. I don't think they have. But so each night they're going to give a wrap-up of the main panels, interviews with stars, discussion of news topics coming out of San Diego Comic-Con that day, which, I think is a pretty good thing because, we all can't get there. I mean, I am, lucky enough to live close to New York that I can get to New York Comic-Con, and it's fun. But I don't get to see everything, of course. Mm-hmm. And I don't live near San Diego. So, for me to get there would be very expensive. And when I can turn on Sci-Fi and check this out, might not be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. I saw this.
What do you think about watching the wrap-up?
I saw this and I got really excited, because back it's only been probably about 4, 5, 6 years ago. Do you remember a TV channel called G4? Okay.
Yeah.
It was at one point about tech, and then it switched to video games, and then it kind of had its little downfall. But they had really good coverage of Comic-Con, and that's one thing that I always really enjoyed watching. So this is something that it kind of reminds me of that, and I really hope that Sci-Fi knocks it out of the park. I think Sci-Fi just in general as a station has really upped their game in the past few years. So
yeah, the last couple of years have done a great job with getting better programming, better movies, mm-hmm. better TV shows, going back to science fiction.
Yeah.
they kind of away from that for a while. But yeah, covering Comic-Con, I think it'd be a great thing for them if they do a good job with this. It'd be great to get some of the stuff that we get to see at conventions that's kind of exclusive out to everybody. And yeah, maybe that makes it a little less special for the people that were actually there. And I'm sure they're not going to show everything that was, shown. Like if there was like an early episode being shown of the Avengers or something, you would probably not get that aired on Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
But if there was a teaser about something, I'm thinking, kind of like what we saw at Celebration, we had that quick, 15-second teaser for Rogue One way early, was nothing going to be even in the movie about this. Just they put together a little video with some sound behind it, and it was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. Gave you the goosebumps, and you felt like this is really cool. If you could share that with everybody, wow, that's kind of cool. So, and plus, if they do a good job showing the people, the costumes, there's so many things going on. They say they're going to cover the panels, interviews, and also cover some of the parties that happen. So you're going to get a kind of almost like being there, I mm-hmm. think, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, especially since,
because even though, I go to New York Comic Con, Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, especially since I feel like San Diego's, it's kind of hit its peak, and in some people's opinion, at least, it's, I don't know, it's really lost its allure, I guess you could say.
You know, people have said that, and I've heard the fact that, you know, it's almost so populated, it's hard to see anything at all. So people are trying to shy away from that now. I mean, they had 165,000 people there last year. I think New York had a few more than that. They're always, both of them are neck and neck each year, trying to outdo each other. I don't know how big the space is in San Diego. I know that the space at the Javits Center in New York is huge, and I think they're actually getting ready to put a large expansion onto the convention center in New York. So maybe, you know, make it even larger for conventions and stuff. But it's so hard to move around. And if people are shying away because of that and now can see the highlights here, no, fantastic. 165,000 people. It's the 47th year for New York, or for San Diego Comic-Con. And I'll be happy to watch and get glimpses of what the lucky fans that got into the good panels got to see. I will be waiting anxiously for that. So stay tuned in July for that. It's July 21st through the 23rd. And see, did I skip anything in here? No, they've got everything here. So yeah, check that out. And again, just keep your fingers crossed for some good breaking news.
Hopefully.
The last one here, Eric kind of put the show notes together. So we can blame Eric for this because we don't know a lot about this. He put a note in here saying WB buckles down for future superhero films. And it says production executive John Berg and Time Warner CEO Jeff Bukes.
I was going
B-U-K-E-S. Bukes. Okay, I'm sure I butchered the name, but are said to be taking a more hands-on approach and are paying closer attention to the overarching story concerns for upcoming films. And he didn't give me a link. I said it was on Dark Horizons. Let me see if I can find anything that's real quick. I know this is real fascinating for podcasting, and I apologize for that. But let's see, WB. No, unfortunately, we'll have to throw Eric under the bus and say, yep, I did not get any details on this. So this is where I tell all of our listeners to do their own homework and kind of research this at home and read your own articles and tell us, you know, hey, we told you where to go. So.
And if you want to ever send hate mail, you can send it to eric@randomchatter.com.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Nice. Thanks, Chris. That was good. Good timing there. Let's see what we have here now. Okay. So our What Were They Thinking weekly section this week, we got two little things. One of them is just kind of a odd thing for this segment, but you remember the game Mike Tyson's Punch Out for
this,
Super NES? You do.
Yeah.
I've never played it myself. I remember seeing it. I think I might have played it in a store or something like that. But, you know, boxing game, Mike Tyson, back in his heyday when he was real popular. But I guess a new Easter egg has been found in the game during the Piston Honda involved bowl levels 30 years after the game was released. Now, Chris, how old are you?
I am 23.
Okay. So this game was made before your time.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just now finding an Easter egg in some of the later levels in the game.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that.
It's a little bizarre. I mean, first of all, no one came out and said, hey, we put this in there. And, you know, I know we stopped playing the game 25 years ago, but, you know, hey, check it out. You know, but now somebody's found it. But then the other thing that makes me wonder even more about this is there's somebody still playing this game and there's somebody still with an NES that works.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, wow, that's really bizarre. So if you're a fan of the game and you still have your NES in the game, plug it back in. Do some research, see where this Easter egg is and what it is, because I don't even have that in my notes here. But it's just very cool that a game still has some life left after 30 years out in the wild. That is just pretty awesome, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
But the big one for our What Were They Thinking weekly is the Sony Emoji Movie. We talked about this in the show, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, and we were scratching our heads then.
Now you're really scratching your heads.
I'm gonna bring this up and kind of read some of the article here for us verbatim, because it's just, there's no way to really expand on what you know what they've already said. Okay, so this is from IO9. It says, the idea of the Emoji Movie is, to quote one colleague, a nightmare from which we will never awaken. So you can see where we're starting this article from. It feels like a terrible idea wrapped in an obvious pandering, but it does beg the question, how would it even work? How do you make a movie about the cutesy images people send to each other billions of times a day? It's actually kind of obvious. At CinemaCon 2016, Sony Pictures Animation presented some concept art from the film, which will be released in August 2017. The art revealed that the Emoji Movie will take place inside a smartphone. That's going to pause there for a minute. Yeah. Yes, the plot is that the emojis inside your phone are alive. Everything starts out in the text app, which is the main place emojis live and work. However, by the end of Act One, they end up in the world of wallpaper.
I feel like this is some parody article.
It's just, I know. I'm like, is this The Onion or is this IO9? And I get confused sometimes because they look close when you look at the links real quick. IO9, Onion, yeah, whatever. Let me just finish up here. So did you know each icon on your phone is actually a massive cube that extends deep into your phone? And each cube is its own world, creating multiple worlds that emojis will explore and get into adventures on. Well, that's what happens. Streaming music on your phone is also a literal stream of music, as in notes that make up a river.
Oh, please tell me this is a joke.
Finally, Sony revealed they have partnered with a ton of different apps to make the movie feel authentic. Who those partner apps are, we don't know yet. And I'm sure they're all thinking, oh God, did I just sign my life away by saying I'll be in this movie with them? Oh, I hope not. Says, yes, it sounds like this sounds like a movie that very, very few of us ever go see. But don't you think that a 10-year-old who lives next door might be interested? Well, that's what Sony's hoping, at least. The Emoji Movie opens August 11, 2017. So now, Chris, after that description, are you going to go see this?
No. The only reason that I would ever see this is if they had an exclusive Star Wars trailer before it, but that is it.
And then you might see the trailer and then walk out.
Exactly. That is what I would do.
Oh, you know, it's funny because I can look at this and I can see the concept and I can say to myself, okay, this is similar in concept to the last Pixar movie, Inside Out.
Yeah.
With all the emotions. You know, I mean, I can see that. And I can see them, you know, if the emojis were working, you know, quote unquote, working in your phone, they're all, you know, they all have their own personality. But I just don't see Sony pulling this. I mean, if Pixar was doing this, I might have a little bit more faith, I guess. Pixar has done some things that you're like, oh yeah, they could pull that off. Or it's like, yeah, no, they're never going to pull that off. And you go see it and you're like, okay, yeah, they did a good job. You know, I totally get that now. But wow.
You know, I feel like this is something that could become really outdated. I mean, if this is supposed to be more towards kids, which I don't know if it will be, but assuming that it's going to be more towards the younger audience, what about, you know, in 10 years when we've moved on from emojis, or they're not what they are right now, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Will this hold up, you know, 20 years from now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. If we're still using emojis, maybe, but boy, I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. I don't know if we do our movie draft in the summer of 2017, I'll be trying to buy the Emojis Movie. If I can get it for a buck, maybe.
Yeah, that's about it.
But wow. Yeah, this just seems awful risky. Eric's got a note in here, too. It says, it sounds like what Wreck-It Ralph would have ended up looking like if it had been written by a 6-year-old children of corporate AT&T employees.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Eric. Yeah, that might work. Oh, boy. So that covers everything for our What Were They Thinking Weekly. With anything on the show, if you guys want to email us back and tell us what you think of this, or, hey, you know, tell us we're wrong, say, I am looking forward to the Emoji Movie. I'm going to go see it 3 times opening weekend. Let us know.
Yeah, I would love to talk to anyone who can convince me that emoji is a good idea.
Oh, very much so. Why don't you bring us into our lightning round there, Chris?
All right. So I will just go ahead and read all of these and then we can comment at the end.
Sure.
The trailer debuted for Doctor Strange. The Men in Black 21 Jump Street crossover is official and will be titled MIB 23. Rumors are going around that the upcoming Star Trek series will be set in the old continuity, probably between Kirk and Picard, and could traverse multiple eras, perhaps one per season. Now, this is what I'm really excited about. Edge of Tomorrow is getting a sequel. Deadpool 2 has officially been announced. Where's Eric when you need him? Wayward Pines will run for 3 seasons. And James Cameron has announced a 5th Avatar film.
Okay, well, these last two are pretty interesting. But let's go back to the beginning there for a minute. You see the Doctor Strange trailer?
I have not seen it yet.
You haven't? Okay.
No.
I actually stayed up the other night because I saw a tweet out actually from Jay, Jovial Jay, who does a bunch of our comic book TV series podcasts on the network. He had tweeted out that it was me on Jimmy Kimmel Live the other night. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm up anyways. I'll stay up another 15, 20 minutes and see that. And it was pretty cool. I mean, I don't know anything about Doctor Strange, really. I've never been into that comic, but it does look cool. I like Benedict Cumberbatch doing the main role. So that could be exciting.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to go down and watch it.
Did you see Jay's pictures on Facebook last Halloween? He did Doctor Strange as a costume.
I did, yes.
He did pretty well with that. He looked pretty good. Yeah, mm-hmm. that was nice. The next one. You heard about this before, I assume?
Yes, I actually just read an article about it today.
And what do you think?
Well, I don't know how they're going to do 21 Jump Street and Men in Black. I love Men in Black, but
that's my first thought.
I don't know.
They don't really go together.
I mean, I could see it, but very, very vaguely.
You know, the only thing that gives me hope for this movie is the fact that they did so well in the last movie by going back in time and having another actor do the whole Tommy Lee Jones character thing going forward. I thought that was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, yeah, maybe they can pull this off. I mean, they do some cool stuff in the Men in Black series. Maybe they can make this work with the 21 Jump Street guys.
Mm-hmm. So, and it would be kind of nice to restart that series too and make it,
mm-hmm.
you know, make it more modern, I guess you could say.
That'd be kind of cool. The Star Trek stuff here. I am a pretty big Star Trek fan. I have watched every series. I know probably more trivia than I should, but I really do enjoy Star Trek. Even some of the bad stuff I enjoy, but this upcoming series is more than just this to make you worry. You know, they're talking about having the first one free and then the rest of the episodes on the pay.
Yeah.
Subscription site for CBS. I'm like, what? Like, I don't want to pay for a network just to get one show. And they're like, oh, well, you get the whole network. Like, well, I don't want the whole network. I want to see one show. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I don't see how you think that's going to make me want to pay for your whole network. But the fact they're going back to the old, you know, chronology, I mean, I'm kind of happy about that, but also I kind of like where they're going with the movies and what they've done now. I'd like to kind of see, you know, more of that in a series, but
mm-hmm. I agree.
I think it'll be just confusing if you start doing, you know, new and old and this and, you know, kind of like how you have people asking now saying, what, they're building another Death Star?
Yeah.
When you saw the Rogue One trailer. So yeah, that'll be fun to talk to all your friends that are not really into Star Trek, but know about it and say, oh, you're going to watch the new series? And oh, what, they got this character back again? Yeah, it's going to be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens there. Now, did you see the picture I put up on Slack today on our Slack channel?
Of the mailbox?
Yeah. That's what you did. You commented on it. Just a brief aside here. One of the guys that works for me at the John Doe ship I work at, he's one of our drivers, and he goes, hey, I was out in whatever town it was. He goes, there was a Starship Enterprise mailbox. I'm like, really? It's kind of cool. I've seen some weird mailboxes. I've never seen an Enterprise mailbox. That'd be kind of cool. He's like, well, I'll take a picture of you when I'm out and send it to you. I'm like, okay, cool. So I get this picture and I'm looking at it. And it's definitely a homemade mailbox and, you know, great creativity. You know, I love people that do things and put things together because I'm not as good at some of the stuff as I'd like to be, or at least that I think I am. So they had this enterprise with the, you know, and the cells were there and it had the saucer section and the lower part was the mailbox and stuff. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, that looks strange. Something doesn't look quite right about that. And I'm looking at the saucer section and I see there's a, I don't know, a, you know, a round piece on the side that's kind of sticking off the side of the saucer with like facing backwards. And I'm like, that looks familiar. And I'm looking at the back and I'm like, the saucer section is the Falcon. So, yeah, so we've taken a Toy Millennium Falcon, painted it white, put that the back end of that facing forward as the front of the Enterprise, and that was the saucer section. I'm like, okay, you know, kudos for creativity, but now I kind of feel like I didn't want to say, I feel like I shouldn't have seen that. It's like it feels wrong in some way that you take one of the beloved ships from Star Wars and make it be part of the Enterprise. It's like, ah. But I thought I would just put that out there. I may post that up on Twitter later on so people can see it if they want to. But it was very interesting. You mentioned Edge of Tomorrow, that you were very excited about this. I take it you liked the first movie?
I absolutely loved it.
I did too. I mean, you know, I'm a sucker for... It was
probably one of my favorite of the summer.
Really? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know I'm a sucker for time travel, so this thing had time travel all over it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this. This would be kind of cool. Now, I'm wondering what the sequel will be, though. I mean,
yeah,
I can't remember how they left off the first movie and what where we left off with all the characters.
Yeah,
there.
I'll have to rewatch it because it's been a while since I've seen it.
I'd rewatch that. Yeah, but yeah, definitely a fun movie. And if they do a sequel that's got the same characters and kind of go forward, I'll be pretty happy to see that. I will take the part of Eric here now and say Deadpool 2. Yes, sign me up. I'm there for that. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they keep the same writing staff on board and they get the same production quality they had in the first one because, wow, that was just a great movie.
Yeah, I agree.
My worry is they overproduce this because it made so much money. They'll try. Everybody at the studios probably want to have a hand in this and say, I've been a part of Deadpool now. I can put that in my resume and go forward. And I hope it doesn't turn into that because the first one was just so well done. Hopefully the second one will be just as well done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second to last one here, I noticed you did leave off the director's name.
Yes, because I don't like to try to pronounce it.
We're talking about Mr. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes.
I think I pronounced that right. Yeah, Wayward Pines for three seasons total.
That scares me.
You read the books, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did too. And they've already gone off the rails from where the books were. So, okay, fine. If you can do that and keep a story going, great. But I don't know. The end of the season did dramatically depart from where the books were.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't be the same. It won't be the same feeling. It won't be the same, you know, story that they had. So, Clay at Wayward Pines is kind of just, I mean, it's nowhere because it's really not the same story. So,
I remember seeing at the end of the first season that the author, I think his name's Blake Crouch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He said that he had an idea of where they could go with the series. So, hopefully it was a good idea and nothing too terrible.
Yeah. I mean, he is involved with the series, I think, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, that does lead me to believe it may be in better hands than I think, but I just thought the books were so well done in the end of the book. I won't spoil it, but the end of the third book, the very last sentence, you're like, whoa, you can't leave me there, because it was like a real shock when you came to that very end of that book. But, well, we'll see. Hopefully it'll be good. I mean, I enjoyed the first season, except for some of the bad CG in the last episode. I'm thinking that the elevator scene was not as well done as it could have been. But
yeah, I can see that.
And what do you think about a fifth Avatar film? You know, you get ready to see number five? I mean, you enjoyed two, three, and four, right? You enjoyed those?
Well, I didn't enjoy the first one. So,
and nobody's enjoyed two, three, and four because they're not out.
Unless you're James
How can
Cameron.
You announce a fifth?
I just don't know. I've
I don't
given
see how
up.
You can announce a fifth movie when you haven't even done two, three, and four yet. I mean,
well, technically, Star Wars kind of did it. I mean, you had episode 5, yeah, but and then like, oh, you know that one of these days, 1, 2, and 3 is coming. So.
Yeah, and we've announced that we're going to have episodes 7, 8, and 9, plus, you know, some spinoff movies and stuff, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But we didn't announce, you know, 2, 3, and 4 years ago, and then nothing's happened, and then come out and say, oh, I'm doing 5, too.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, you haven't given us 2, 3, and 4 yet, so what makes you think you can get a fifth one
exactly.
out? I mean, yeah, I mean, James Cameron's great. I love everything he's done, or most things he's done. I mean, I wasn't enamored with the first Avatar movie. It was good, but hopefully they... Yeah, we'll see what he does. I mean, I have faith in Mr. Cameron. We'll see what he does. So that was our, well, our little longer of a lightning round, but I thought those all needed to be talked about because there was some good stuff in there. So,
mm-hmm.
Last week at the box office, The Boss was number one with 23 million. Batman v Superman still kind of rolling in the money here. It's a third week out, made another 23 million. Up to $296 million domestically. So Eric is loving that for his movie draft. Zootopia is still out there after 6 weeks. It made another $14 million, up to $296 as well. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, number two, made $6.5 million, bringing up to $46 million in 2 weeks. And Eric's pick for his movie draft this week, Hardcore Henry. Wow, it made... a whopping $5.1 million. You know, now Eric is lucky this is not like the last week of our draft, because remember we said we'll keep it on there for 4 weeks or until it drops below $5 million. And since it was at 5.1 the first weekend, I bet the second weekend it'll be below $5 million. So yeah, that movie was not a good buy for Eric. He is not going to make his money. If you want to hear more about our movie draft, check out our episodes of Random Chatter. We talk about the movie draft there. We're having a lot of fun talking trash about different people's picks and what we're doing. Chris, I think you got the raw end of the deal on some of those because some of your movies went right to video.
Yeah.
We didn't do our homework beforehand, and some of the movies that were being released in theater were day and date released with DVD. So
it could be worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
I could have Hardcore, you know, Henry.
Paid him. You'll take the directed video releases over the Hardcore Henry any day of the week, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Well, speaking of movies, what do we have coming up in the theaters this week, Chris?
All right, let's see. We have The Jungle Book, which is at 93%. There is Criminal,
yeah,
which okay. is at 15%. Barbershop.
15%?
Yeah, that wow. surprises me.
It looks so good.
Mm-hmm. In fact,
yeah, Ryan Reynolds, it has...
you could probably say that Criminal being 15% is criminal.
It is, yes. Very good, very good. I think I'll still get in theory anyways, but...
Next, we have Barbershop, The Next Cut, which is 89%, and The Green Room, which... Okay. Did you have that?
You know, I might have, I think. No, I don't think I did, actually, okay. to tell you the truth.
Well, that's at 90%.
It wasn't our draft. That does look pretty good. That looks like a good thriller. So that'll be fun.
On DVD, we have one big release, which I didn't actually get to see, which is The Revenant. And it comes
Ooh,
out
yeah, I haven't either.
April the 19th. On television, cool. we have 12 Monkeys, which comes out for 18. So just a few days from
okay,
now.
Okay, I think that's season 2. Yep, I think it's season 2 of that. That'll be fun. Season 1, I thought was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
Although my DVR is busting at the seams, so I'm going to start watching some stuff. Slaved my DVR. Well,
and
I think that brings us to the end of our show here, unless you got something else you want to bring up here, but I think we're pretty good so far.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Eric and I have been saying for, you know, since we relaunched the Random Shadow Network that we want to keep our shows to about 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And with Eric on, we can never do that because he talks a lot. We are right about on time at 45 minutes here. We're doing
oh,
pretty
wow.
well.
See, Chris, that is nice.
You and I are all set here. We know the deal. We know how to get it done. Eric mm-hmm. just drags things out. So yeah, he'll hear this and probably demote us when he hears this. But
well, you know, if he was on the show tonight, here, then he would still be talking about Deadpool. So.
Oh, I know. See, that's what, that's why the show would be so long. He'd be still talking about Deadpool in our lightning round for the last, 20 minutes. Deadpool came up in, Eric and I also do a podcast with Nathan Chase for Flick Chart called Flick Fights. And Deadpool came up in Flick Fights the other day. And, we all agree on in the matchup. If you've ever been to flickchart.com, go over there, check it out. It's ranking movies. It makes a list of your own popular movies and so forth. And we do this one list with the three of us in the show together, so we all have to agree on it, or at least two out of the three agree on something. And, Deadpool comes up and Eric wanted to pick it over everything. It's like, okay, it's a good movie. I had a lot of fun, but it's not the best movie. And our chart is fairly new. We only have about 50 movies in it, so we don't have a lot of really well done stuff in there. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he was, it's better than that. I'm like, oh. So we had to calm him down a little bit, but a little plug for that show as well. But why don't you start bringing us out for the closing here, Chris, and we'll start wrapping things up.
All right. You can email the show at outerrim@randomchatter.com. We always love hearing feedback from you guys, no matter what it is.
Good or bad. We prefer the good, but good or bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a hold of us on social media, you can do that as well. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find us on Twitter as well. The podcast has a Twitter feed at Outer Rim Podcast. You can also find stuff about the network at Random Chatter. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Lou Secchi. That's Lousecki. You can find Eric at ERIKBLYTHE. And Chris, where can people find you on Twitter?
I'm at The Curse of Chris. All right. And you can also find us on the web. We are at randomchatter.com. We have a lot of cool things going on over there. And I think Eric has actually been updating the site lately, which is very cool.
Yeah, he's got a thank you page up there for our Patreon donors and some other stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. You can also find all of our shows there. We have the Random Chatter main show, Echo Base, which is where I'm at. That's our Star Wars show. We have Green Justice, which is the Arrow show. There's Scarlet Velocity for Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files for S.H.I.E.L.D. And our latest show, which is the Retro Convo, featuring Mike from last week's Random Chatter episode.
There you go. Yeah, all good stuff. Mm-hmm. And of course, we'd like to hear you talk about us to your friends, let people know about us, leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. That does help people find the show. And of course, tell your friends about us. If you got friends that are into the same stuff you are, they might be interested in hearing the podcast as well. So, water cooler talk at the office, mention the show if you don't mind. And don't forget, you can also listen to us live. We're not live this week, but usually when Eric's on the show, we can stream live. You can find us at randomchatter.com/live. And the chat room usually keeps us honest about some things and helps us out with the show notes as we go along. They're also a lot of fun, and they can hear the show earlier than you would get it on your podcast catcher.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you mentioned it earlier, but you can also find us on our Patreon website. We've had quite a few donors so far, and we really enjoy having them as a part of the family. One cool perk you can get is by joining our Slack channel, which is loads of fun. It keeps me occupied throughout the day.
Yeah, the Slack channel is pretty good. We have one of our Patreon donor levels. If you donate, I think it's $10 a month, gets you into the Slack channel, and there all the network hosts are there, as well as a lot of our donors as well. And we have discussions about anything from just what's coming out in the media that day to what the last show was, and I posted a picture of that bizarre Millennium Falcon Enterprise thing today on there. It was kind of fun. But it's a great way to stay in touch with us. We've had a lot more interaction with that than we ever thought we would, which is fantastic. I love interacting with the fans as much as we can, mm-hmm. So it's always good to do. And I think that's about it for this week. So everybody, thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week.
The Force will be with you always.